watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal, Season 1, City of Woe. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh man, we have some pretty good pre-show discussions lately. You know, I feel like the transition from banter to pre-show discussion has really helped us in terms of getting our energy where it needs to be to play.
Yes.
You know, it was a real mistake to start out with banter. And part of me wants to go back and just like strip those early episodes of the banter and just be like, let's just jump right into the action. But then we'd miss some of my great transitions. So it's a real, I mean, a real Sophie's choice.
Real Sophie's choice, yeah.
Real Sophie's choice.
That guy from Australia would love it.
Listen, I love banter. I'm going to be, I love banter at the top of an ep.
Listening back to it, I'm like.
I like if it's organic. We were like, what are we going to talk about? Let's talk about how we like fried chicken. And then we'd be like, you know.
I mean, some of them were interesting, like the cryptids and stuff. Like, I know.
The conspiracy one.
But then we ran out of, like, good topics. Yeah, the conspiracy one.
Right.
We ran out of good topics. And, like, I don't know. It just makes so much more sense to do all of our BSing around before the show. And then we can jump into the show with a good energy. It's like warming up, you know. Just warm up a little bit and then you're boom, primed and you can go.
I gotta warm up with some unknown fluid on my lip.
No, yeah, see, but when you make these references, see, then I have to make the decision. Do I cut that out? Do I put it post credits? No, what am I gonna do with that?
You just leave it in.
Just like the unknown fluid, you gotta leave it in.
This is a mystery podcast.
It is a mystery podcast. And
when do they find out this is just an elaborate ARG?
I mean, eventually they will. As if my goal works, we're going to actually manifest Care For into reality.
Oh, God.
Speaking of manifesting, last episode, episode 40. We're in episode 41, guys. You know that? 41. Ooh. You know what that means? Next episode, episode 42. That's a big episode.
Oh, my God.
It is a big ep. That's an important one.
It's the one we all die in. IRL.
God willing.
Last episode, you guys decided to move on from the mayor to investigate the police chief. And at first you were kind of like, let's go bug his office. But after talking a little bit with Detective Moore, you were like, actually, that's probably a bad idea for multiple reasons. Maybe we should instead go to his house. And you came up with a great idea to sort of say, hey, we have a TV show. Why don't we knock on the door and say, hey, do you have ghost stories? Or we've been picking up some, you know, weird signals. Can we check around your house? And of course, the chief's wife, Carol Anderson, was absolutely thrilled to go share a little bit of her family history with her great grandfather, ship captain Elias Grimshaw, who was kind of notorious, had lived in Care For, had briefly served as mayor, but was kind of known for being a ship captain with some vague stories. But after his death, apparently he was rumored to have haunted various people. As you went and sort of interviewed her poking around the house, Joel was running interference so Cyril could poke around more. Marcy was investigating stuff. You kind of got a few, you know, clues as to what was going on. You went to the police chief's office. You found some medals and awards, like fly fishing stuff. You found an old cuckoo clock, which really, you know, sort of seemed to set off some of the spirit box stuff, including you sound like you got the word Jeep in there. Marcy, you were able to find that the police chief had regularly gotten tickets to the Riverbend Blues Lounge for like a year or so pretty consistently. And then noticed that he had recently purchased a Cadillac CTS-V for $1 from good old New Orleans Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. You maybe got like a ship from the Spirit Box at one point too. It's later the Jeep happened. But as Cyril tried to move the cuckoo clock to be extra distracting, as Marcy was doing her work, Joel was sweeping the whole house for EMF and noticed a little slight elevation here and there. As he swept Carol Anderson, the police chief's wife, he got a little Jeep from the Spirit Box, and then the cabinet door slammed in the kitchen. Joel ran over to sweep it with the EMF and Spirit Box and got the foreboding run. As he booked it, Joel felt something push against his back as he ran out the front door. Marcy decided, instead of running out the front door to help get Carol out, Carol didn't want to go. Marcy got pushed but managed to stay on her feet. And that's about where we ended the episode, with everyone sort of moving towards the front of the house.
Marcy is almost for sure just going to try to call out for Cyril. Cyril, I don't know if you're in the bathroom or something, but come on, man, we got to go.
Okay, Noah, so Marcy calls out to Cyril. Does Cyril give any response to Marcy here?
I'll make it out. I'm right behind you. Don't worry. I'm on my way out. I'm leaving. But he is not.
Carol looks at Marcy and is like, Should I go to? I mean, I've never seen him push someone around. Normally, he just knocks things over or slams doors shut. And then suddenly, she is shoved forward by some unseen spirit, and she begins stumbling forward to you, Marcy. Marcy, make an athletics check.
All righty. I don't know if it's known, but Marcy is somewhat athletic.
That's a 4% out of 40. You're goddamn right, she is.
That's pretty damn good.
Excellent. So as she caterwauls forward, Marcy, you manage to steady her. And as you make it from the kitchen, I assume you continue on front out the door.
Yeah, Marcy is going to be like, is there anything you need before we leave immediately? Just one small item. Just in case. Do you have your phone on you?
Yeah, I've got my phone. I was just about to go on a walk before you got here, so I've got everything I need.
Okay, well, it looks like you're gonna get that walk in. And she tries to make sure that we're getting out of the house, but trying to linger enough to draw the ghost's attention in her mind. Like, she's wondering if she can distract the ghost with her, like maybe it'll be off of Cyril's back for a second.
Okay, so let's go to Cyril real quick. Cyril, what are you trying to do right now?
Well, I think we ended last episode where Joel was looking in the window and he was telling me to get out, and I had my Organite out, and I shrugged at him. And so he does have his Organite out, but he is trying to jimmy open the drawer.
Okay, go ahead and give me whatever skill you're doing for this locksmithing, whether it's locksmithing or something, you know, a little more brute force. Because, like, I guess locksmithing is a skill underneath criminology. So you could do a criminology if you got it.
I'll do a criminology. Oh, I will spend 2 luck to make that a success.
Okay, the drawer pops open. Noah, go ahead and have Marcy roll a power roll if you want to successfully distract the ghost enough so that it doesn't interfere with what Cyril's doing right now. Okay, 84 over 60. You fail to do so, but you do get Carol out the front door. Mark, go ahead and give me, what were we rolling last time? I think it was just dex checks. So go ahead and give me a dexterity roll.
Success, 43 under 75.
So you get pushed a little bit. Your legs splay out and steady yourself as this phantom has attempted to shove you over. So far, you guys haven't seen much of what this phantom has done, except for like trying to push people around. He slammed doors, and you've heard other various rumors, but you have a little bit of a respite. Joel, is there anything specific you want to do as Marcy and Carol make their way out front? I assume you've got maybe the you know, the EMF and Spirit Box still going.
Yeah, I don't think he would have turned that off in the semi-panic panic to get out of the room. Actually, I have a quick question that I've been meaning to ask the last couple episodes and I keep forgetting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do I still have that necklace that Glomus gave us? Because, like, if Glomus didn't ask for it back, Joel wouldn't have, like, given it back without him being like, hey, can I get my shit back?
That's a good question. Glomus has not brought it up.
I'm picturing you wearing, like, a full, like, totemistic necklace all the time.
You know, that's just a 50-50. Because it's not dependent on, like, your luck. This is a little bit of, like, you and Glomus, and then kind of how the magic would work. I think it's just 50-50. Give it, you want to get under 50.
Okay.
Or I guess, yeah.
49 or less. Okay, that didn't work. Try that again. Okay. Nope, 60.
Yeah, no. So I think maybe you still have it, but no, I think at some point you would have given it back to Glomus. Or maybe it could have been destroyed when you were actually breaking the seal. I haven't decided yet. So it's one of those two things. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, that works for me. In that case, Joel will see that the other two are still inside and just be like...
Marcy's making it out the front door. So it's just Cyril now.
That's not any better. Because now only one of them is in there and in danger, or in potential danger. So Joel will tag out with Marcy and run inside, and using a mixture of the EMF and like some kind of thermal that they have, whether it be like a thermometer or like if they actually have a proper thermal camera, just use anything in order to deduce what this might look like or something like that, just so we have an idea of what we're dealing with.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say that as you sort of cast the infrared about, what you are noticing is a sort of slowly moving cool spot. If you sort of book it around to the office, which is, you know, as you enter sort of on your left, down the hall just a little bit, and then back towards the facing the front. If you go there, you know, assuming that you're trying to get in touch with Cyril, as you scan it, go ahead and give me all you notice at first is just sort of a cool spot. Give me a search roll to see what more you notice about it here.
Okay, a search roll. I have a 2959, so that's a good old success.
Yeah. So what you notice is that, yeah, it's kind of tall, vaguely humanoid. But it's almost like it's spinning around a little bit, it's like rotating. It is what you notice.
Oh, like almost kind of like it looks like a tornado or like a whirlpool or something.
Yeah, vaguely like a tornado actually.
Huh. I don't like the way you said that. Joel will. Upon seeing this, will just give like a sharp whistle and be like, hey, sailor boy, over here.
Okay. Marcy, do you want to do anything? Do you want to do anything while you're out there with Carol?
Listening to Joel call that out, she's going to be like, huh. Ma'am, were there any sailing songs that it was said that he liked?
She looks at you and she's like, sailing songs?
I don't know. Just something to calm him down?
Calm him down? What do you mean calm him down?
But I don't know. If he's never done this before, there's been a lot of activity in Care For, paranormally speaking. Not sure if you're aware. First actual ghost sighting recently, televised, and...
Yeah, I saw that, but Marcy, what are you talking about, ghost? She looks at you with a very confused and quizzical look, and at that moment, around the corner, you see a Cadillac CTSV pulling around, driving slowly.
Fuck.
Okay, so real quick, we're in the office. Tyler, Joel needs to make a dexterity check, or you can try some other skill, but this is what we're looking at right now.
Okay. I can't think of anything that would have a justification to it. So I think I'm just going to have to rock the straight 50-50 of the dex check.
Awesome.
Fumble, of course.
Oh my gosh. Oh, actually, and you know what? You know, I should be having you take like negative 20% to physical rolls. And so there's you got a 99, which is the highest fumble you could get anyway. But
so I got 119.
Yeah.
Right. Again, not a fumble.
That's what we're looking at. But wait, what were you? Sorry, what were you saying?
I was going to say, like after the taunt, like I imagine it takes a second and Joel just starts like humming the Gilligan's Island theme song.
Yeah. Fuck.
this thing died on a 3-hour tour.
Oh man. Yeah, so you slip and fall to the ground. You don't take any damage right now, but you begin spinning and rotating.
Oh.
Yeah. Just like you're almost breakdancing, but without any control. Mark, what does Cyril do?
Cyril's going to look through the drawer he unlocked or the cabinet or whatever.
Ah, shit! Cyril, run!
Yeah, make a...
The captain's a big fan of Dead or Alive.
You spin me around. make a search roll, and the level of success will tell you whether you get anything now or if you fail to glean any information. Ooh, 5%. That's pretty good. 553? I mean, it's not a crit, but what you notice right off is that these locked, the files that were locked away are all files that are related to what appears to be the chief's own private investigation business. It appears that he was doing some side work and that he was getting paid regularly by, would you believe it? What's his face? The bald guy. Why am I blanking on his name?
Teddy Savalas?
Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
God.
Yes.
Kojak?
All of them. Marcus Johnson. No, sorry. Tony Black.
Tony. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so he's been getting paid by Tony Black from the Riverbend Blues Lounge.
Wow.
If you had a crit, you'd learn a little bit more, but with the just success, that's what you get. Are you going to take any of these files, or are you going to close? That's the choice.
I'm
going to
close. I don't think we need to see all the...
Okay. So you just know he's getting paid.
I don't want to arouse any more suspicion than us being at his house with his wife in the front yard and two guys in the house.
Yeah, and the payment, I would say that also with that, you get the payment amount that he's getting paid is monthly, and it's a very... it's a significant amount, and it's an amount that you recognize from the files that Marcy had noticed as expense, you know, care and upkeep. It just happens to match that exactly.
Okay.
So that's where you get. Okay, I think we're back to Marcy and Carol outside. Carol is waving at her husband, who has returned home. He begins pulling into the driveway, and she says, hey, hon, the Phantom Finders came by, and Marcy's talking about ghosts or something. Marcy, make an alertness roll.
She's going to get shot in the head.
Meanwhile, just barely visible from the front door, just Joel's head spinning in circles.
Actually, Marcy, don't make the awareness. Sorry. Don't make the alertness. Make me a human roll.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, she's got a solid 12 in that. Oh, boy.
Oh.
27.
So I'll say what you notice about the chief is he's kind of a little bit sweaty and red faced. Just, you know, he's kind of a heavy set older guy.
Was he watching Cops?
Yeah, apparently. but as he pulls out, he says, Carol, what do you mean? Ghost? What are you talking? He looks over at you. What do you mean? Ghost? What's going on?
Sir, not to alert you too much, but, we were driving around, just checking care for out like the, with our, sorry, it's been a hectic night. Driving around seeing like if there's any paranormal surges around the area, and we got a ping on our, EMF reader, and it turned out to be your house, sir. And, when we went in after a few minutes of conversation, we started getting shoved around by, an unknown force that we believe might be an ancestor of yours?
An ancestor of mine? What are you talking about?
Yes. Well, and she's just going to try to bullshit him for as long as possible until Joel or Cyril come out.
Okay. Speaking of which, let's go over to Joel and Cyril. Joel, you are spinning around on the ground. You begin. Go ahead and make me a pow roll at minus 20.
Pow at minus 20. All right. Yeah. I'm loving this a lot. Actually, you know what? That's even with the minus 20, that's a straight 50-50 for me.
Sir, I just wanted to be known that we are professionals.
I fumbled again.
Cut to Joel spinning in the foyer.
Yeah, you know the scene in Monsters, Inc. where Sully is fighting the, like, invisible Randall? And Mike is just pouring his heart out, and Sully's just, like, flailing at nothing and getting a shit beat? That's Joel right now.
Yeah. So, Joel, as you begin spinning around, you move on the floor, the wood floor, and begin to spin near Cyril. And, Cyril, I'm going to need you to make a dex check now. With this fumble, let's go ahead and make yours at a minus 20%, just because this is interesting. And you kick your leg out inadvertently at him as you spin.
All right.
So let's have to make a dex check at minus 20?
Yeah, you're making a dex check at minus 20 against his spinning body coming at you. Because he critically failed, he gets now an advantage against you. Does that make sense?
No, yes. But I love it.
That's fine. I succeed. Two under, yep. 55.
Wow.
At least someone's doing good.
Yeah, excellent. So you hop over him, but in order to hop, you essentially have to hop up onto the desk where some of the papers had previously been arranged quite nicely. But you are now out of that. Tyler, I think Joel is going to go ahead and take one damage as he, okay, you know, whacks his hand on like a okay, on the base of the desk and chair, just sort of like general.
Bust his knuckle.
Oh
yeah.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay. Ouchies. Joel, as he's going in, just like, Mercy! Just like scream. I'm a Beyblade, Mercy!
Sir, if you'll just wait right out here. I'm a
Beyblade. Oh, just, what's happening? A Beyblade. Mark, what does Cyril do? You've had to jump up on the desk to avoid,
okay,
this.
Okay. So he's like spinning in like front of the desk. Behind the desk, near the desk.
So the desk was point. You know, you're facing sort of the window, but it was butted up against the wall, so that's where it like boxed you in.
Okay.
So you've now jumped on top of the desk, and you have room to go forward in between the desk and the wall, or you could kind of get out on the side and try and get through the door.
Joel is spinning in that room.
Yes.
I want to jump on Joel.
Please don't. Hop on Pop isn't a bad idea right now.
Cyril taps his elbow twice. He's got DDT the
people's elbow.
I think you can just do that. Like,
I want to see if I can get him to stop spinning.
Well, here's the funny thing. When you jump on him, let's go ahead and you make a power roll to see if the spinning stops.
Oh, boy. My power is reduced.
See, I'm the organite from the top row.
success.
Okay, so you begin slowing him down until you, over a couple seconds, you gradually fall into a stop. You still feel like something is attempting to push you, but you feel like you have mollified the efforts as of yet.
And I'm twirling my hand above my head like I'm in a rodeo.
Yep. 2.7 seconds on a bowl named Joel
LaFont.
Joel LaFont. All right. Yes, Tyler.
I have a question. During this, has the spirit box been saying anything, or is it just doing the...
It's mostly been cutting in and out. You haven't noticed any specific words. Okay, jumping out to Marcy and Carol and Police Chief Anderson, who are out in the front. Chief Anderson's looking a little, you know, sort of just kind of sweaty and red, and he's like, Marcy, you guys just came in here with no thing, what, now you're talking about ghosts? There's no ghosts in my house. What are you talking about?
Sir, if you'll just look inside for one quick second, and just shows Joel spinning on the ground.
As he walks in, CC's Cyril.
She is not trying to get him to walk in. She's just trying to glance in.
Okay, as you look through the window, you now see Cyril sitting on top of Joel, and he looks and he's like,
"Oh, thank goodness, he's gotten it under control."
What kind of, is this some sort of prank show now? Have you guys moved from ghost shows to prank shows? What the hell is this?
Sir, there is no prank here. Your wife can attest that there was some force that is shoving us around. I am fully not fucking with you right now, sir.
She's like, "Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Marcy."
Her eyes just narrow at her. "You bitch," is you going bitch. Through her mind. She doesn't say that out loud, but it's just like, "Ma'am, you were there when I got shoved, and then you got shoved too."
She's like, "I was just headed out for a walk and you guys showed up. I don't know. What are you talking about?" And even with your human, you can tell that she seems really earnest and sincere. Marcy, make an alertness roll real quick.
Her husband's about to pistol whip me.
And this one you actually will need to make an alertness roll. It's not something else.
That is a 17 under 54.
Okay, so with the chief being sort of red and sweaty, you hear him mutter under his breath. You hear him mutter a word. You hear him mutter, he says, "Everdon, Everdon, Everdon." And in case you couldn't hear that, that was me saying Abaddon.
I heard.
And that's sort of what you hear. You also notice just kind of strangely off in the distance, you hear what might be a train whistle. Kind of odd.
I hate this.
I hate this.
Yeah. Back inside, Joel and Cyril, what do you do?
Does it feel like the force has stopped acting on Joel, or is it still trying to spin him?
You feel like it has abated enough that if you were to get off him, he would not begin spinning spontaneously.
Okay, I will do so that we can...
Oh, and then he starts spinning spontaneously.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
What
a bait and switch that was.
There it is.
Yeah, he's hitting every chair leg in the room just with his head.
No. You're able to stand up and he does not begin spinning. Yeah.
Mr. Chief, I'm sorry for all this, but there really is something in here. I don't.
So the chief's still outside.
Oh, I thought he came into the room. Thought he saw us.
No, because Marcy, yeah, he saw you through the sort of front windows. Because the office does butt up against the front, so that's where he saw you sort of over the hedges into the windows.
Okay, then I will be like, "Joel, are you all right?"
Ow, no. This would have been really cool if it wasn't scary.
Agreed.
Joel will stand up and begin trying to make his way out to the front door.
Yeah, let's exit this place. I found some intel. I'll kind of whisper to him. I found some juicy in that cabinet.
Oh, juicy.
It was like a unknown fluid in there.
Oh my God.
he'll very clearly like trying to like stay with Cyril, but like being like three steps ahead of him, just be like, "All right, we should like get the fuck back out of here, Cyril. We need to leave."
Cyril is just kind of, he's not hurrying, but he's moving, but he's not going to take his time, but he's just going to get out, but he's not like running out the door.
Okay. So as you guys are, as you said, not running out the door, you hear the spirit box again, just Antoine. And then I need both of you to make dex checks.
Oh, shit.
What the fuck?
Okay. Cyril passes with 71 under 75.
Is this with penalty again?
You are taking another penalty.
Do I need to take that penalty?
No. Joel's only taking it because of his recent experience with the Ouija board.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, right.
Fuck.
Okay. With just a failure, you get shoved forward. You do fall, but you do not begin spinning.
Okay.
So
could you imagine that? Just like, oh, hey, Marzi, oh, did I see the show? Just immediately.
But you are close enough to the front now, and since Cyril is there, he can help you up, and you guys can get out of the house. So far, it does not appear as if anything has, you know, manifested outside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
But you make it into the you fall down like right in the doorway in front of everyone, so it's really, really embarrassing for Joel.
But did they see that it was a push? Or did it look like a trip?
It could have just been a trip. It just could have been a trip.
And then Cyril steps over him like he's Allen Iverson. Like,
wow.
As you all head out the door, also, like, you all notice with whatever your sort of alertness is that the sky appears to be darkened a little bit. And again, you hear in sort of the distance, again, it sounds like a train whistle of some sort. That's just sort of, it's almost like constant and maybe getting louder. Marcy, the chief, has continued to sort of talk to his wife, and with your continued, you know, with your alertness, you still hear him mutter Abaddon under his breath a handful more times. But he embraces her closely and gives her a kiss and says, "Yeah, work was real hard today, honey. I'm sorry you had to deal with whatever this is, but let's just we need to have just like a good quiet night. So, Phantom Finders, would you mind? You can just you don't need to be here. It's fine." Abaddon.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Just the idea of this guy, like, just, oh, you need to go home, demon.
randomly slipping in. Great old one.
Yeah.
I got my oil change, Shemna Groth.
Yeah, for talking.
Okay. Joel is not willing to fight this battle any further. He's like, you know what? You guys were living good lives. Just make sure things are tied down well and don't invite people over.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine, I guess. Whatever.
When he's not looking at Marcy or nobody aside from Joel and Cyril, she's like just gesturing like, let's fucking go. Like, she clearly has the look, expression, like, I have information that I want to share.
Okay, all of you, give me what you're saying, and then I'll have a request for all of you.
I was going to ask, what do we know about Abaddon? Like, obviously, it's a religious thing. If I'm right, it's like one of the demons of hell or angel of hell or whatever.
Yeah, you could all make occult rolls.
They're also a professional wrestler in AEW.
Hey, please don't Google Abaddon. That's, wow.
I misspelled it. If it's any consolation, that's why I got the wrestler.
There's also a bad guy in 40K. Also, I could do history, you said?
Yeah, you could do history or occult.
Okay. I'm going to do occult. Somehow that is, you know what? That's more fitting for Joel. I lied. That makes more sense, the history of lower than occult.
History for Marcy.
69.
Nice.
Let's go.
Amazing.
Nice.
Oh my god.
Amazing.
Either he's on or he's off. There's no in between.
Yep.
That's what 69 is like.
Yep. Oh gosh. All right. So you Joel, you know that Abaddon is used to reference basically the bottomless pit, right? When the Bible talks about like the afterlife, especially in the Old Testament, it usually refers to like Sheol, which is like the grave, but sometimes it refers to the pit, and that's Abaddon. You also know in Revelation, there's an angel called Abaddon, who's described as the king of an army of locusts. And he's sometimes also known as Apollyon, depending on like the I think it's one's Greek, one's Hebrew. The idea is there's something about like destruction, destroyer, like it seems to be like something about perishing, you know. It's a very it's kind of got, I mean, it's definitely got some interesting background and implications. You can you can go wiki it for just more of that, but that's sort of what you know. It's basically either hell or like an angel of hell.
Okay. So,
and I would say, with the occult, I would say that like in many occult traditions, Abaddon is definitely like the sort of, is more of one of the leaders of hell, right?
Oh, gotcha. It's kind of like Satan and Lucifer and the other ones.
Yes, yeah.
Gotcha. It's one of those amalgams.
Right.
Not amalgams. Yeah, whatever. Basically, okay. So Joel is just like nodding, be like, have a good day, y'all. And as soon as they're out of earshot, basically Joel is thinking that is like a like code word for like almost like Broken Arrow. You know, like, fuck, they're onto us.
Hmm.
And like whatever he's saying Abaddon to is either causing the train whistle in the darkness.
Interesting theory. Mark, did you have something you wanted to interject here?
Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong. It's starting to get dark, like as in nighttime, or is the sky getting dark?
No, like the sky is getting dark. It's cloudier.
Okay. I'm just going to comment on the weather. Just say, boy, it's still getting dark out. I mean, look at those clouds. They look like angry clouds. And do they react to that in any way?
Do the police chief and his wife?
Yeah, like, do they look at the clouds? Do they notice them? Do they comment on them?
Yeah. If you point that out, they look up and they're like, the police chief wife is like, yeah, it looks like maybe I have to put off my walk to another afternoon. Okay. And the police chief's like, yeah, it's I don't know, it looks like maybe it's raining. I didn't see that on the forecast, but let's go inside.
Okay. So they do. Okay. All right. Well, y'all have a good night. Sorry to interrupt your day. You have a good night.
And the door slams behind them as they head in. So now I would like everyone to go ahead and make yourself a little alertness roll.
All right. Am I also still taking the minus 20, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll take that till you get some, like, a night's rest.
Okay. Failure.
That is a 98 over 52.
65 under 68.
I know you, I think you technically did get a night's rest between the Ouija board and now, but
we're good. I don't.
Okay. It is Monday, so is it Monday or Tuesday? Oh.
Monday, because...
Yeah.
Didn't go to work today.
That's right. So, still Monday. We're getting to like 5 o'clock on Monday. You weren't anticipating any rain. So Joel and Marcy both fail, but Cyril, as you are talking, something about it, just there's something strange. And what you realize is you don't hear any birds or animals, which is unusual. Normally, you'd expect to hear something in the afternoon.
Do either of them also mention the spear box saying Antoine?
That's up to them.
We haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't think.
Yeah, you can begin debriefing. Please let me know how long you are sticking around here to debrief, or if you're getting in the car, or what.
Let's get in my truck. I think there's an ominous feel. I mean, if you listen, there's nothing living happening right now.
Yeah, and as he says that, you hear that sort of train whistle sound, and it's definitely getting louder and darker. And do you think that the wind might be picking up now?
Oh,
let's leave.
Let's Great. Get. And he guns it and does a sweet, wicked burnout in his cyclone. Like the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Give me a drive roll.
Oh boy, here we go. We'll see how cool it is. It is cool. It's 2 under 20. That's how cool it is.
Dude, fuck yeah.
So you pull out of this neighborhood, just burning rubber in front of the police chief's house.
Just sideways. It's all-wheel drive, too, so it's all four wheels.
I don't think cyclones were all-wheel drive, but
I think they were.
I thought they were just rears.
Or maybe the typhoon might have been.
I think that's correct.
As you peel out of this neighborhood, you guys all notice that, like, you know, the sky is like a green cast now, like a dark, it's dark and green cast as you begin driving away. You guys can go ahead and begin, like, debriefing, or where are you going?
When he pulled in, I could almost overhear him, like, muttering Abaddon to himself. And I don't know if you all heard it too. He was just muttering it the entire time under his breath. Yeah, like, what
a fucking psycho.
There is. I think Mar's boss is a cultist or something.
Well, when I unlocked that cabinet or that drawer, whatever I found, there were files in there for a private eye company that the chief was running by himself. And the person who was supplying him with money was none other than Mr. Black from the whatever, from the Blues Lounge. And the price...
Fuck.
The price was the same as the incidentals that we found on their accounting bill. So they're paying the chief to do some PI work or something. I didn't get a critical success on that, but... I found that much out.
Where are we going, by the way? I think we're just peeling away from this place, right?
Yeah, we're just... Where should we be going?
He says all this mid-drift.
The calmest thing rolling Tokyo. Fast and Furious is going outside.
Blowing clouds out the... out all four Joel's, tires.
Joel's pissed. He's just like... Fuck. Spent 40 points on my drive skill for this. Aren't we good at you? No. Where should we go? I don't think we should immediately go back to Detective Barr's place by any stretch of the imagination.
I think we should figure out what the fuck Abaddon means, aside from just the pit.
Joel will bring up what I said earlier about, like, he's like, I think it's a code or something. Just, he's probably... He's clearly causing all of this. It might tip off his friends back at the Blues Lounge.
Yeah. He's clearly invoking something, correct? I mean,
without
clouds like that don't just happen. And they noticed it too. Like, it wasn't just like something for us.
She got real calm too.
Yeah, she started fucking backtracking on, like, the fact that we both got pushed by a ghost.
Yeah, she got real weird.
Wait, so she didn't even acknowledge it happened?
No.
Yeah, no.
As immediately, or just when he showed up?
When he showed up, like, almost like his presence caused her to be cowed into it. I don't know if it's just an abusive husband thing, or if there's something more esoteric going on.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit box did say Antoine.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was getting spun around, when we were leaving, it said his name. I think maybe that cyclone, by the way, great footage on the thermals. We're going to have to look at that later.
Marcy makes a face. Are you being haunted specifically right now?
Am I being haunted?
Yes.
Probably. I don't know. No? No.
Maybe we need to get... is the mall still open or is it closing right now?
Oh, the mall would still be open. It's only like 5 o'clock, so the mall's still open to at least 8 or 9.
I think we need to go get you, and she kind of, like, air quotes, checked out by either Glomus or... And insert the name of the woman who's training both Marcy and Joel, Luna. I think we need to get you checked out by Luna or Glomus or someone.
We can't bring in other people. If we are being followed or something, we can't just bring it to Luna. Also, I don't think I'm being haunted or anything. I think maybe we set off an alarm.
Oh, so like an occult, like, intruder defense system?
Maybe.
Fuck. Wait, could Abaddon then have been him sending whatever it is back into the pit?
I don't know. That's getting real speculative. Listen, we just need to get somewhere public.
He was gathering. I mean, things were gathering, right? The air went still. Things, like, there were no birds. There was no life. There was nothing. There was that train whistle. And, yeah, so, like, something did happen. I don't know if he's sending something there unless...
Is there a train track around here?
To answer your question, there is a train track. And as you are all driving, I don't know I don't know where you're driving, but regardless of where you're driving, it is now dark and windy, and the train whistle noise has gotten louder. And Cyril, at some point, as you check your rear view or, you know, any of your mirrors, you see in the distance a funnel beginning to touch down half mile behind you.
Oh, shit.
This son of a bitch summoned a tornado.
What the fuck?
Cyril guns it. Just flat. He's still doing a burnout, the longest burnout in history. Yeah, no, he's gonna gun it and just keep driving as fast as he can to outrun this tornado that's touching down.
Okay, where are you driving to?
I'm pushing for the mall. If we got to go somewhere public, y'all, I'm not gonna lie. I'm pushing for Luna.
I could use an Orange Julius,
but we just need to get somewhere where we can hunker down, you know, assume the tornado position.
Or do we go to Glomis? Do we go to the mall or do we go to Glomis?
That's real far away.
I know, but it'd be out of town.
Glomis is 24/7.
Stop.
That's what she said.
Go ahead and give me a drive roll.
Oh, fuck. Oh, 99 over 20.
Are you
20.
Kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. So as you burn out, all of a sudden...
Don't take my car away.
No, the rain begins picking up, and you begin dealing with some traction control issues. You're just finding it real hard, even just on this sort of... It's these newer streets that have this weird grooving in them, and it just feels like your tires do not want to grip, or maybe they're gripping too aggressively as they are slicked. And so you are trying to, you know, sort of... go fast, as you mentioned, but and your progress is stymied enough that the with a fumble, what had been, you know, maybe a half mile away is now closer to maybe a quarter mile away from you as you drive. That's where we're going to be right now. The next thing that's going to happen is the EMF reader, which I assume you have left on, which has been reading sort of this constant background signal. You notice, I think I described it as being like a 1. And when it was around Carol, it was bumping up to a 1.5. It's now sort of steady at around a 2. The spirit box continues to hum along through the sort of channels that it's running. You don't hear or notice any specific words. That is where you are. I'm going to go ahead and let everyone make a decision as to what they want to do or say, and then we're going to have another drive check. All right?
Okay.
There's no official, like, chase mechanics in Delta Green that I've been able to find, so this is my way of doing chases.
Gotcha.
Oh, joy.
I'm so glad I'm driving.
Okay.
Yep.
Can I...
An interesting drive skill.
Okay. I have the requisite 20.
It is the bare minimum.
The bare minimum.
Joel double checks. Yep, I'm buckled in. And he... Can I make a drive check as well? But mine is less. I am the one actually controlling it and trying to assist Cyril, tell him what to do.
Yeah, go ahead. Like
he sees that he's having trouble with the traction. He's like, oh, wet surfaces, do this.
This is something, yeah. This is where if you get... Okay, so I'll tell you, a success will give him, let's call it a 20% bonus, and then a crit success would give him a 40% bonus. Why not? Okay.
How about a success? 9 under 60.
Excellent. So this will give Cyril a 20% bonus. I think that's fair. Now, Noah, if you wanted Marcy to do the same thing, just because success is not going to, you know, bump him up to 40%, you would have to get a crit to get into the 40%. But you could do something else that might, you know, let's say preempt any penalties that might be coming along or consequences, that sort of thing.
If you haven't already, you should turn your high beams on, Cyril. And Marcy's going to, like, just internally start trying to go over everything she's been reading with Luna. And she's going to attempt to start trying to, like, go over the basics of just, like, channeling her protective spirit and calling out for her her guardian angel.
Okay.
Internally. She's not actually vocalizing anything, but just, like, going over it in her mind and just trying to get everything in line. Where if shit really does start hitting the fan, she's going to start chanting.
Okay, so you are preparing for that. Yes. You are not actually doing that. Okay, so the the wind picks up and the
go ahead. Is that
yeah, no, that's fine. It'll be okay. Like it'll give you a little like 10% bonus.
Okay. Okay.
About that seems fair. It's like, you know, kind of like an aim or that sort of thing. But for magic.
Yeah, just in the panic of driving while a tornado is touching down, she's just trying to get everything in her mind before she jumps into it so she doesn't pull a Klaatu Barada necktie.
And I, you know, I'm not going to do the math for how long a Delta Green round is, quote unquote, and then, you know, how long a tornado could travel in that, you know, quarter mile in that amount of time that might be like faster than the speed of sound. So just ignore that. Let's suspend. This is, you know, Cyril's judging.
Rockstar wind speed of a tornado touching down in this area.
I just know there's some nerd out there who's like, oh, he traveled a quarter mile in 10 seconds. That's wow. Impossible. I don't know if that's actually impossible off the top of my head. But anyways, the point being, he's judging distances in, you know, his rearview mirror. And as we know, objects are closer than they appear. So, Cyril, as you begin to continue to drive, the water is picking up, the rain is coming down pretty hard, which is seems to be like limiting your visibility somewhat. You're getting sort of that sheeting rain effect. So go ahead and make a drive roll here.
Okay. And this is at 20%?
With a plus 20. Oh my gosh. You are rolling not great.
Now I'm not going great.
So unfortunately, with this failure, as you continue to drive, you accidentally like sideswipe a car that is just parked.
My baby.
Yeah, just you take its mirror off. So you can stop and handle that, or you can continue driving. I will let you choose. But that is the result of this failed drive, and the tornado looms ever closer.
Yeah, he will keep driving. There's no reason to stop for a sideswiped.
Okay, all right. You continue to drive forward. Anything else that anyone wants to do this round? And then tell me, are you're still headed towards the mall?
Well, I think that Cyril will be like, should we keep moving, or do you want to ride this out somewhere? I'd kind of like to get off the road. I mean, shit, I just hit somebody. Just hit a car, at least.
Yeah, here's the goofy thing. If we hit a car, we're definitely in town enough that there's not, like, the roadside ditch that you're told about.
How far away is old Barnabas? Or is that also like Glomus level distance out?
No, Barnabas is a little further north of town. He's not like half an hour away. He's only maybe a 10-minute drive from here.
If a tornado is touching down, y'all, we might want to try to get into old Barnabas's bunker. if we have the speed and time.
It's not looking like we have the speed or time, is it?
That's entirely up to you guys.
Fuck. Okay, which is closer, mall or bunker?
Or
okay.
is my house closer?
Your house, I don't know if your house would be closer. Let me, you know what, I'm going to roll. Mall is closer.
Okay.
You are, yeah, because you're on the, you'd be on the west side of Care 4. And so the mall is a little bit further northwest. You know, you're past some like neighborhoods and stuff, so you'd have to backtrack and come into the center of town.
Okay.
Which actually appears to be almost where the tornado is, or where it had been, rather.
God damn it.
All right, well, I guess I'm going to keep driving to the mall then. Is that what we're doing?
Dan, just to clarify, you did say it appeared that the tornado initiated in the direction of the mall. Is that what you said?
No, this would be in the town center.
Fuck.
So behind you, yeah.
Okay. In the center of the goddamn town. Oh, God.
So kind of like right next to the courthouse?
I mean, you don't know. That would be impossible to tell from where you are.
No, but like that's vaguely where the center of town is, yeah, right? Yeah. Where the courthouse and shit is.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a little bit north. It could be a little bit south, but it's.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll get.
Could be directly in the center.
Yeah. I will. What I'd like to do, at least, is like now that he's had sort of like a wake up call hitting that car, I'd like to. Can I like concentrate and drive? Like not be so willy nilly about it and kind of just tell everybody shut up and let me focus.
Sure. What are you looking for from this?
I'm just looking for a little bump. That's all.
Okay. Well, if you have some cocaine, you can do it. And cocaine does make you a better driver.
I know.
If NASCAR's taught me anything.
Right.
If NASCAR's taught me anything, those guys are zooted.
No, I mean, let's see how this next round goes. How about?
Okay.
I mean, you could always have Joel drive. I don't know what Joel's drive is.
60.
Oh, shit. So,
Joel, with your minus 20, you're still double what his base is.
I have a 30 in drive. I love how, like, it's Ciro's car. He's got to be the one to drive, man. It's just, it's the rules. It's his car.
You deal with the radio. I'll do the driving.
So, I'm just putting that out there in case that is something that you'd want to do in this sort of, this round of the chase.
That was something I had in the back of my mind. If no one else had a better idea, just Joel just being like, "Give me the wheel,
get in the back and start shooting,
shoot at the fucking tornado, just taking pot shots at the wind, pew 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 pew,
like the hurricane in Florida."
You'll never get me, wind gun.
We could always find some pipes and a leather belt and go through the tornado like in Twister.
Oh, my God.
Great idea.
It's always an option.
Let's not do that one. Okay. We need to get to somewhere safe. That is it. We need a basement or a, you know, just something, right? So Joel will just, yeah, he'll just be like, just let me drive. Like, just beat to shit. He's like, his face is all still busted up and bloody.
I will absolutely allow for this. If that's what you want to do for this portion of the chase.
Yeah. So Cyril will slam on the brakes and.
What? No, we can just transition. Are you kidding me? Just. Yeah.
You want to transition while I'm driving? I have a 20 in drive. You think that's going to end well?
like I said, I'm willing to let this happen.
Yeah, Joel is just like, cruise control.
You slide. Here, I'll sit up and you slide underneath me.
About to be some unknown fluids.
Let's ghost this. Let's ghost this whip.
It's just the hands gently coming over Cyril's, grabbing the wheel and guiding him while his hands are off on the wheel.
Alright, well, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. That's my proposal. And I would say with all your combined drives, you feel like you could get to the mall before the Twister catches up with you.
Okay.
Good. Okay.
So, Joel, go ahead. Unless Marcy has something that she wants to do specifically, Joel, go ahead and make the roll.
Yeah, Marcy's going to just start. I'm going to try something, guys. And she's just going to start chanting us the spells from the book that.
Hell just, yeah. Just chanting any spell?
Well, I mean, just some of the Guardian Spirit, like we mentioned.
You want to do the HGA? All right. Go ahead and give me a power roll.
Just something to just protective, protect is just her going through her mind in like focusing. That's a 76 over 60.
All right. Marcy begins chanting. I think what it is you're probably just a little bit too distracted by this this internal driver switcheroo, and you don't feel as though you have secured any sort of extra protection for you during this.
Oh, God. Yeah, it was just for Marcy, not for this.
All right. All right, guys. This is a pretty important role. So Tyler, go ahead and make that drive roll for Joel.
Don't screw it up.
I would just like to say, I told Noah this the other day. Tuesday, I ran a D&D game and I got 6 nat 20s in a single combat.
Wow. Yep.
I've blown my load for the week. We're fucked.
Gross.
That's horrific.
Oh my God. 27 under 20 or under 60.
Ugh. Oh my gosh.
Nice.
Very important success.
May your unknown fluids never dry.
You blew them.
May your unknown fluids chip and shatter. Puts it to their forehead.
So let's set the scene then, as you guys are careening into the into the parking lot for the mall, which is relatively empty at this point, but with a handful of people that are hustling from either to or from their cars to the mall. You can see that people are sort of split on which is going to be safer. But as you sort of, I'll allow you even to, you know, park, hop the curb, park, and run into the mall as the, you know, with maybe a minute or two to spare as this tornado makes its way, tearing a path through the parking lot. It does not touch the mall. It does not touch your car specifically, but it continues forward. I mean, it definitely causes some damage. It knocks over a bunch of trees, some, you know, lights. It does mess up a couple cars that are out in the parking lot. And then it continues on past the mall, continuing to wreck trees. And you just hear that sort of train whistle begin fading out and things begin lightening up. As you are hunkered down, we're gonna call it right there for tonight. But I'm gonna have one little last thing that happens, because we go back to the house we were just in of the Andersons, and the police chief, you know, holds his wife tight, gives her a nice little kiss, you know, says, "Oh, hang on, honey, I gotta go check." And on some stuff, I saw they were in the office. And as he looks, he notices that many papers are sort of scattered from on top of his desk. They're now on the floor from when Cyril had jumped up. His chair is obviously not in the right place. And as he bends down to pick up these papers, he looks and just for a second, he gives sort of a quizzical look, and then his face turns a little redder, if possible. And he appears to be somewhat angrier. And that's where we're going to cut it for tonight. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
Oh, man. Son of a bitch. See ya.
Thank you for joining us this week on City of Woe, a Quartermasters of the Tabletop role-playing show. City of Woe is a Delta Green actual play. And by that I mean we're actually playing. This is a homebrew scenario that I am writing and our players are going through. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing, who puts out and publishes Delta Green. They are awesome. They're awesome to work with as well. Check our show notes for some links to other Delta Green podcasts that exist. We encourage everyone to listen to all of these. Also, shout out to Pawns or Kings for Cositus. That's our theme song that's going on in the background right now. If you'd like to add an NPC to care for and join this homebrew, just rate and review us on iTunes. Make sure you share us with your friends or family who might be interested. And then shoot us an email. When you do so, include a little description of the NPC, and we'll be happy to insert them into this world. It's, you know, collaborative storytelling with not just my players, but also with our listeners. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Join us next week. Demons on this-
faces with no smile. Please don't let me drown.